Hello there.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Spark of Rebellion.
Hello there and welcome to Spark of Rebellion, the Star Wars podcast bringing you news and views from a galaxy far, far away. This is episode 214 and we are here to discuss a little bit of the dark side. We're going to talk about the Acolyte. We've got some old school legends goodness, both in toy and book form. Qui-Gon Jinn drawing down the old tax-free lump sum from his Aviva pension. And we've got a little bit of Obi-Wan. What an episode this is going to be. We're back. We had a bit of a week off last week. I was out at a conference in the United of the States. And, we didn't get a chance to do any Star Wars-y stuff. So we are back and we want to say a big thank you to everyone that, number one, tuned in back on our last episode, but also to our patrons, Kevin, Pascal, Denise, Michael, David, everyone, Danny, who joined us every week for early access. That's right, if you want to get early access, you can get the show a little bit early and you can get some Star Wars merch at sparkofrebellion.com/support. My name is Mark, one of your hosts, and joining me today is the legend that has not been erased by, I don't want to say Kathleen Kennedy, because we're not Doomcock, but has not been erased by the passage of time and the sale of Lucasfilm. It is Mr. Gaz Aylett. All right, Geezer, you all right?
All right. Yeah, I'm good, thank you, dude. Yeah, not erased yet. Still going, which
not gone yet.
Not yet. I used the word yet. Absolutely there. Still going, dude. Until they pull the plug, we'll keep doing it. Kath. Yeah.
Yeah. So come on, Kath. Even though we're a legend, we can still inspire new stories.
Funny that. That's a concept that would likely spawn some really cool on-screen stuff with that. Strange one.
I think it would, but it'd also come under the scorn of the old... You know, anti-woke brigade.
Come on.
Woman exist. Snowflake, woke. Get out. Get in the sea.
Get in the sea. Don't be a snowflake about it, Kath. Come on. Just do
funny,
it.
Funny, innit?
Yeah. Oh, this and that. And this opinion and that opinion. And George. George has just got a check through the post. I saw in the news the other day. I think he's like a multi billionaire, like one of the most highest paid, whatever. I don't think the guy's directed a film in 15 years. What the last thing he did? I think it was a movie about some World War II pilots or something. Red Wings, I think it was called, something like that. And he's still raking it in, dude. So his opinion counts for nowt. He's just putting in the money.
He's only there for the money.
I mean, I love him. Don't get me wrong. Love him to death, obviously. But come on, Kath.
Not to actual death, unless you're in his will. In which case...
Yeah, you and Mark. This is going to sound really weird, and it's really not one of those phishing emails. But George really liked your podcast.
Yeah,
and has left a little something. Oh, has he?
Yeah,
come on.
£14 billion.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Oh. That'd just be mad.
Send it through Patreon, mate. Dodge the tax.
Yeah, is this a tax incentive thing? Because I have to shift some money around between my Switzerland accounts, of course, to get this sorted, but should be all right.
Just, so, can some of this go in my ISA, is what you're saying, George?
ISA, can you imagine?
5th of April, pop it in the ISA, knocking on the accountant's door. Julie, yeah? You're not going to believe this. What's the ISA limit for this year? £3,000. Right. How many ISAs can you have open? Many as you want. Right. Going to need to open 65,000 ISAs.
Yeah, you're on overtime for the next 2 weeks, yeah.
I want it done by Thursday.
God, the tax relief.
God, profit on that. And the government tops it up, so profit on that.
Sunak, yes, please. 14 billion. What are you saying? Yeah. That would be lovely, man. George, if you're listening, I'm pretty sure you do listen, dude, and we're welcome. But planting the seed there. If you are sorting out, you will. You probably do your documents every year, whatever. Keep them up to date. Just saying, we'd love
Gary with two R's.
The whole thing fell through because it was a one R Gary.
Yeah, shit. Different fella. Like when you get a number plate wrong, different car, that different fella. Sorry. Dear me, dear me. George. Have you done any Star Warsy gear? Have you done much in our absence?
No, I haven't, man. No, I've been. No, it's been well. It's been fairly. I've watched the Bad Batch, but other than that, it's just. A couple of cool things have landed in the news the last couple of days, but up to that, it's been really quiet. Mm. Really quiet for Star Wars stuff. So, the only other thing that was knocking around on the socials was I think they put some new artwork, marketing assets, all the rest of it for the Star Wars celebration event that's happening in Japan.
Oh, they did. They're like sort of Japanese inspired Vader posters. Yeah, it looked really good, that.
Yeah. So that's probably going to be pretty cool. But other than that, dude, no Star Warsy gumph this year, this week.
Did you get some Phantom Menace tickets?
No, because my local cinema have not got it on a decent screen. This is really, What's the word?
Have you got a cinema screen at home? Because if not, that'll be better than your TV, regardless of what screen it is at the cinema.
Well, this is what's the word I'm looking for? Entitled? No.
Yeah. First world problem, pal.
Yeah. If they had it on, because my local cinema is a Showcase Deluxe. Great, a couple of great screens there. But they've put it on the smallest screen, which is basically the broom cupboard with a projector in it. I don't want to watch it like that. Not in that format. So I'm going to be a bit sort of hoity-toity. I don't know if there's a word for it that's sort of very derogatory against my thought on this, which I completely agree with. I'm on board with it. Twatty, yeah. I'll take that. Yeah. I just don't want to watch it on a tiny little screen. You know? Just don't want to do that. Yeah, you've got tickets, haven't you? Yeah.
Yeah, I got them for the evening of May the 3rd, which would be quite nice, like a 7 o'clock showing. So that'd be pretty nice. I think it's on like the Cineworld, it's got... I think the smallest screen is still a good screen. I think it is the smallest screen, but it's still a good screen.
It's Barnsley. The Barnsley cinema.
Yeah. They've got a Cineworld now, which is quite cool. Yeah. So fairly new, last couple of years, you know, mine in town regeneration. So looking forward to it, actually. It'd be pretty good. Go out there, get a Botanist, get a Nando's, you know, all the cliched shit. Wear all my gear from Flannels. Park up the BMW in the disabled space and go and punch an old person. Welcome to every town centre with our tattooed gym friends. Fucking right,
you're not wrong.
Mate?
You're not wrong.
I know I'm not wrong.
No.
And the only problem is I can't get to the cinema because the motorway is busy. The fast lane's full of those guys in the BMWs.
Yeah, I can attest to that. I mean, it's as a BMW driver, I can fully...
Yeah, but you're not like the roided up, you know, sleeve-wearing, turkey tape, over-tanned, you know, hard fringe kind of guy, are you?
Not these days. No, I've left those days behind me. Yeah.
God, spend more money on the clothes than they do anything else. Get in the sea, mate. Get the Dunlop out.
Get the LS gear out. Yeah.
You know, get the Slazenger trackies on, Shagger.
Shagger. As a Beamer driver, I'm actually pretty steady. I don't do the whole.
Yeah.
The thing that annoys me more, not the fast lane dude up your bum that wants to be in your boot. It's the middle lane drivers for me, dude. They're the ones that, yeah. Rage. I don't rage often on the road, but those dudes, I want to punch
them. Get around them.
Mm-hmm.
But don't overtake and don't go above 70 mile an hour. Although you can go above 70 mile an hour if you're overtaking, can't you?
So tops.
Profit on that. Right. Should we do some news? Get off the turkey tape, guys.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Go on then. We got a cheeky drop yesterday. We're going to start with something that came out brand new. 6 p.m. UK time, April the 4th, 2024. Currently 5 million views just on Twitter. So, you know, we're getting Tales of the Jedi Season 2. We all thought that. But it's not. On May the 4th, we're going to get a 6-episode drop, Tales of the Empire. So it's the dark side version of Tales of the Jedi. And I've got to say, man, the trailer looks badass. So it's Clone Wars style animation, as we remember from Tales of the Jedi. If you remember from Tales of the Jedi, the whole shtick was sort of filling in like little cheeky gaps. You know, let's fill in a couple of little naughty gaps. What happened to Yaddle? How did Dooku fall to the dark side properly? How was he seduced by it? Bits of Ahsoka, you know, what did Ahsoka do in between the Clone Wars and as coming across her in Rebels? Plus a younger version. Then there was the Qui-Gon stuff. So there was mainly two characters. There was like Dooku and there was Ahsoka, which was great. And we got some Qui-Gon, a bit of Obi-Wan and whatever. So great season. The Empire one looks just as good, dude. Looks really, really good. So the two characters this seems to focus on, which are really good choices, are Morgan Elsbeth from Ahsoka, Night Sister, working with Thrawn. And it seems to do a similar job to what Tales of the Jedi did, which is how did Elsbeth get to be under the patronage of Thrawn? And it looks really interesting because it ties in from Dooku and Ventress wiping out the Night Sisters. You can see that in the trailer up to like her professing, you know, wanting to work for Thrawn and the Empire. It just looks very interesting. Then the other one takes the Inquisitors, that look very, very Rebels-like in terms of animation. The Grand Inquisitor in particular seems to be Marek in there, which looks quite interesting from Ahsoka. But in particular takes Barriss Offee, so the person that, you know, basically framed Ahsoka, and sort of seems to round out what happened to her. So last time we saw her in the Clone Wars, she was off in prison. That was it. And that's sort of the last we've heard of her. I don't think we've seen anything else, as I remember. And it seems that she gets offered the role of an Inquisitor. I think, did she become one? Did she become one of the sisters? I think maybe that is what happened. So, dude, overall, I'm just fascinated by this. And maybe we'll get to see what's her name from Rise of Red Blade as well. Who knows? As a little bonus. Maybe she'll be in there. And then we get a bit of Vader, you know, in the Inquisitor side. So just generally, this trailer, big surprise, looks absolutely badass, dude. I mean, that's pretty much all there is to it, isn't it?
Yeah, it does look completely badass. And you've got to take your hat off to Filoni for this one, because he's seemingly really busy with all the live action stuff these days. And out of nowhere, just drops this animated, because he's credited as the creator and exec producer and all that stuff. And then it's, so I knew you would love this, although it's like a really cool dive into some of the Empire stuff and the darker side. So it seems like this year, by the way, is going to be a real focus on the darker side of Star Wars, you know, with the Acolyte and some other bits. So that's very cool. I knew you'd love this because I know you love the whole interconnectivity between characters and other shows and stuff. It does look cool. And the cool thing for me was when the logo started to appear at the end and it said Tales of the Jedi, and then it scrubs out, sort of burns away, and changes to Tales of the Empire. That to me was like a little, we knew you guys were looking forward to Tales of the Jedi, but, you know, this is the thing that we've dropped in, and it does look amazing. It's do you know what? I'm not too fussed about the Vader stuff, and that. I'm more interested in the Elsbeth, you know, and Offee and all those things, because it really does flesh out those little bits without having too much of a slog. Because I don't know about you, I think we mentioned this a few weeks ago, but the Bad Batch so far has been a bit. It's had some cool moments in there, some cool little bits, but overall, to me, it's felt a little bit sloggy. A little bit just not as cool as the previous seasons. With these, in similar to Tales of the Jedi, you get these short little stabs at what's going on, so it's a lot more consumable. So I'm up for it, man. I think this looks very, very cool. When's this May 4th?
I agree with you, dude. Like you said, May the 4th. And I agree, the Bad Batch has been great. There's been some great, because it's all about Project Necromancer, which is clearly like, let's fix Rise of Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I'm all right with that. You know, I'm all right with that because that links to Mandalorian and we know all about that. Like, you know, everything, even those elements of Mandalorian have been about fixing, you know. No, definitely. Look, the Emperor could fucking definitely come back because we did all this work. Oh, of course you did, right. But these, like you said, I always call it the Smallville problem. We've talked about it 1,000 times. They don't suffer from the Smallville issue, which is 10 episodes of canon, amazing movement, mythology, and then 12 episodes of filler. And it's not to say the Bad Batch has filler, it's just that some of the stories where it's a bit, you know, fetch and carry, which there's been less of it this season with the Ventress stuff and whatever, spoilers. But there's still some of it, just the fetch and carry sort of missions. Like you said, because these are so short, and because it seems to be they're intended to fill interesting bits of canon that are a little bit loosely left, they just don't have the space to be filler, which is really good. And so, Yeah, it's a very interesting vehicle, this, because this is one of those shows, relatively cheap to produce, I would imagine, quick hit of content, but sends fans wild, and it could sort of run in perpetuity. There's always something. Like, this is almost like the best place to do young Ben Solo and younger Luke with Ben Solo. And yes. You know what I mean? It just feels like a lot of people clamoring for seasons about, will we ever see young Ben? Like, oh, we'd see this, this, that, and the other. This just feels like the best vehicle for it, because you don't have to fluff out anything. It's just, okay, here's an episode of Snoke getting his hands into Ben. That's it. Here's an episode of Luke sort of sensing that. That's it. Here's an episode of Luke sort of getting pissed. Let's really see the scene from Last Jedi. Let's do it like that. And then here are three episodes from the First Order's perspective. You know, what's so there's a lot of opportunity with this one. And I just feel like they could lean on it a lot, because it cuts out all of the, like, the risk. You know, let's not make a full 22-episode season on this. Let's just put that in there. So, yeah, fascinating little thing, really. Didn't expect it to be Tales of the Empire, but, yeah, pretty cool, man.
Pretty sweet, yeah. And you make a good point about using this as a vehicle for other things that may not require huge investment and time to do that stuff. I'm thinking, like, I don't want to jinx it, but Patty, I'm sorry, dude, but this would be a good one for that Rogue Squadron stuff. If you just show,
right,
you know, that doesn't need, I don't know, does it need an entire film? I don't know, but this would be very cool. Or even something like what was the character from the Battlefront 2 game,
you know? The woman and Del Mico and the others.
Iden Verso.
Yes.
You know, her little team of, like, elite little stormtrooper pilot-y things, you know, that could be a cool one. You know, flesh out what's happening around some of those guys as the Death Star's being blown up and how it transitions into post-Emperor stuff. You know, there's loads of things that you could do with these little tiny, little mini-series, I suppose. So, yeah, loads of opportunity. Like, if this does well, you can see, George, go and let Filoni know. We know you're listening. Go and let Filoni know that we've given you some advice. Take it on board. Go and do it.
That'll cost you $13 billion.
Price is going up. Consultancy fee
is going up. Yeah, this could be great. I do. Yeah, I agree with you, man. It's because some of the best canon books, new canon books, are in the gaps. Lost Stars. You know, how does Vader get back after getting sent into a spin after the first Death Star? You know, someone goes gets him, and that's that. It's their story, and you know. You're right. There's a lot of, like, in Aftermath, there's a lot in the Battlefront games, there's a lot in, like, Bloodline, where it's like, okay, what we've seen the transition of power from the Republic to the Empire in the Bad Batch to some degree. You're right. There's a lot. There's just so much, because we're not touching that post Return of the Jedi era except the Mandoverse. We're not touching much of that. So, yeah, man, a lot of opportunity. Maybe it becomes Tales of the Rebels or Tales of the Rebellion or the Resistance or Tales of the whatever, who knows.
That'd be cool.
So yeah, very, very interesting, dude. Another thing that we've had this week is another TV thing. So The Acolyte, as we know, is coming out really much sooner than we think, actually. We loved the trailer, really enjoyed the trailer. Everyone's crying about it. All the entitled assholes online are crying about it for absolutely no fucking reason, because they just want to cry about everything. But Daphne Keane, who's playing a Jedi Padawan and named Jeki or Jeki Lon, has just had a chat with Entertainment Weekly and just given a little bit of insight into that character. Basically just said she's chuffed to bits that we know her name now. It was a secret for too long. She's part Thielen, part human, which is quite interesting. Padawan, Jedi, lots of good lightsaber stuff, and just a fun character to play. So not too much to read into this one. She does go on to say she's very dedicated Padawan. She's very, very much a master and apprentice style Padawan. She's very much, you know, she reveres her master, as opposed to, and the example she makes in the interview is, unlike Anakin and Obi-Wan, that are sort of more brother-like, a little bit more, you know, peers, as opposed to master and apprentice. So this is shaping up to be good, man. I've seen the haters online. They're basically just whiny old tossers. And it just, like, just give this a chance, man. I don't know how you're feeling about it, but I'm pretty excited about this, mate.
Yeah, same. My enthusiasm and excitement hasn't waned at all, just because there's a bunch of it's always astonishing, isn't it, when you see a bunch of people, excuse me, that whine about something they haven't seen yet. You can only gauge so much from a trailer and from stuff and information before you've actually seen. I think the key word with all this stuff, dude, is context. You know, you can only see and dive in so much based on a trailer. You know, you have to see the episode and the episodes collectively. It's a bit like Obi-Wan, you know, like we've said many times, if you whack that together, there was a couple of fan edits of it as well. You whack that together as a cleverly edited film almost, and it provides a much greater bit of context for everything that's going on. So yeah, I'm not too fussed about those dudes that are whinging and complaining about all that stuff. But yeah, this character looks very cool. And it's kind of weird in that, I say weird because we've mentioned a few times that with Star Wars recently, over the last year or two, fandom is very, very much like, unless it's lightsabers and magic, then sort of they get turned off by it a little bit. And then they drop a trailer for a show that has all the lightsabers and the magic, and people are getting a little bit miffed by it. So you can never win, I suppose. But overall, dude, I'm up for it. I think this looks really good. And his character in particular looks pretty cool. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the beauty of it, is that, like, TV making has changed, hasn't it, right? You don't make syndicated weekly TV shows that run for 30 minutes that much anymore. That's totally different. Like, you make very often HBO-style event TV. And even when you do seasons of TV shows, they're usually much shorter, and they still feel more event, you know, 6, 8, 12 episodes, whatever. Look at Stranger Things, like, the last season of Stranger Things, like, 1 hour 20 per episode, 8 or 9 of them, the same with Game of Thrones, whatever. It's just a different world. So you get all these people whining about everything. Like, it's a different audience. Audience, generally speaking, in my view, audiences are more complex than they were back in the 80s, because there's more choice. Yeah. So they want depth of story. And so you can't just go out there and go, let's tell Star Wars again, because that invented a genre. And it's been done. And it's been done 1,000 times after. And it will keep being done. So if Star Wars makes Star Wars again, it's fan service. It's just a repeat of A New Hope. All right, let's try something different. Try something different. We don't like that because it's not a repeat of A New Hope. Like, absolute moronic responses. And it just becomes like, you can see why people get put off getting involved in fandom. Like, fandom, you can see why fandom would diminish. You know, I'll like Star Wars, but I'll just not participate. Like, fuck gonna celebration. I'm not gonna bother getting involved in the forums because people are idiots. And it's just a shame, man. It's a shame to see that, because, like, I might not have liked Rise of Skywalker. I thought it was rubbish, but I'd never say someone was wrong for liking it. That's just opinion, isn't it? It's just how it works. I don't know, man. People feel like they own stuff. We see it in podcasting a lot. Aaron Mankey struggles with it with his stuff. Like, someone's been a fan for that long that they think it's theirs, and it's not.
It's not.
You know, it's wild, isn't it, man? It's a shame.
And I think also time is a big factor in it as well. I think people just expect instant gratification for everything that's coming out. And if you think about some dudes that are our age, that, like, Knight Rider was my childhood, you know, Airwolf. You know, it was all amazing, you know, the best thing on TV. Back in the day when you were watching every episode each week, there were bound to be episodes that you thought, well, this is shit. Nothing's happening in this one. It's rubbish. But then you fast forward 20 years and it's like, that was the best thing ever in the world. So I think time plays a big factor in it. People just, you know, if it's not amazingly brilliant right now, this second, you know, it's like, it gets, you know, binned off a little bit. So, don't know, man. Fandom's just arseholes.
True that, dude. True. Ain't no lie. Ain't no lie. Speaking of people that aren't arseholes, Liam Neeson. He seems all right, doesn't he? He's had a bit of a chinwag, you know. He had a bit of a chinwag with Scream Rant. It's an interesting one, this. Basically, someone said to him, are you up for doing a bit of Qui-Gon again? Whether that's live action or animated, and he's gone, I enjoyed very much being with Ewan and George Lucas on The Phantom Menace. We shot that 26 years ago. Would I do it again? I don't think so. Too effing old, you know? I can't see the situation. I really can't, you know. Having said that, so he's sort of hanging up the old robe and the beard and the wig. Having said that, I'm calling bollocks on this.
Oh.
Because I reckon we'll see Qui-Gon again. Here's for why. He came back for Tales of the Jedi last year. He came back for Obi-Wan last year. Obi-Wan finally gets reunited with Qui-Gon. Ain't no chance we ain't seeing more of that in the gap. And things like Tales of the Jedi, whatever, Tales of the Rebellion, Tales of the Resistance, whatever, like we said earlier, they're a perfect vehicle for that. I'm calling an animated version of Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon between the Obi-Wan movie and A New Hope. That's what I'm calling over the next 5 years. We'll probably see that. So I get his point in live action because he did look a little bit like your Force Ghost. How is your Force Ghost aged? That's weird because obviously Neeson's got a bit older. But I just think animation, man, I just don't think he'll be done. I think he'll keep getting that call and forever because his voice doesn't change, does it?
No. No, you're probably right, dude. I think live action he's probably done because I think Lucasfilm officially announced that Obi-Wan was not getting a second series.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not coming back for that. But yeah, I think you're probably right. And it's also, they've commissioned a bunch of books and stuff around these two characters. So I think in the next month or two, we're getting those comic omnibuses starring Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan as well that sort of slot into those characters. So yeah, I mean, it's just funny, isn't it, that that's the question that you go. It's so obvious, man. It's an obvious question to ask these dudes.
Yeah.
Are you going to play Qui-Gon again in Star Wars? And he's probably like, fuck.
It's the easy soundbite, isn't it?
Here we go. No, I'm not, because I'm too old. But you knew that already, but you asked it anyway.
Yeah. It's just it's a way to get a headline, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Screen went. But you know, animation, dude. You're probably right on that one. We'll probably get some kind of thing where it's, you know, Liam Neeson as Qui-Gon Jinn. Yeah.
I just think it's one of those things that can be developed in such a way that it'll make Disney a bit of money, we'll enjoy it, and it's sort of a quick win for everyone. You know, a 20-minute Tales of the Jedi episode is just showing that, you know, that interaction. Just, you know, have one episode that sort of takes the elements of John Jackson Miller's Obi-Wan Kenobi book, you know, where we saw things like, you know, when Luke went back to find his uncle and aunt slaughtered by the bloody stormtroopers in that intervening minute in the book, Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon have a little chinwag through the Force. You know what I mean? So I just think there's appetite for it. And it's one of those things that's largely inoffensive. Like, it would be hard to annoy the idiots with something like that. Because how could they be annoyed that it's just something so straightforward? Do you know what I mean? So it sort of feels like the lowest hanging fruit.
Oh, that's the exact words I had in my head then. Yeah, so the low-hanging fruit would be Qui-Gon, Mace Windu. It's always Palps. And then, you know, probably the other one that people want to see is the guy that played Jar Jar that came back as a Jedi.
Oh, Keller and Beck, yeah.
Yeah, probably him as well. There's a few of them that fans are sort of really eager to get back and stuff. So, yeah. This is an easy win, isn't it? Old Neeson.
We'll see on that.
Yep.
We'll see. All right, we're going to do a bit of movie news. It's not even news. I don't really know what to make of this one. So you remember old Benioff and Weiss from Game of Thrones? They were going to do that old Star Wars trilogy, and it was going to be about the First Jedi, wasn't it? It was going to be like literally called The First Jedi. They've had a bit of a chinwag on Josh Horowitz's podcast, Happy, Sad, Confused, and they've just to paraphrase, basically gone through the process saying, we got pretty far story-wise with the first of this trilogy. They had a bit of an outline and a roadmap for the other two, and it was just one of those things that it just didn't work out. And they go on to just talk about like the percentages of their successes in Hollywood, you know, so basically saying, you know, for every X amount of films that you pitch and you write, only Y amount come off, you know, which, as we know, that is the way of Hollywood. It's a bit of a non-story, this one. We're seeing this a lot in this kind of reporting where someone goes on a podcast. You see it a lot with Michael Rosenbaum's podcast, which I really like anyway. But what happens is that they'll do like an hour podcast and then there's like 15 sound bites that come out of it because that's what the host wants. And then they get picked up by these outlets as headlines and, you know, it becomes news 15 times and the podcast grows and whatever. It's great. Great marketing. But there's rarely any kind of substance to these things. So like this story is not really anything except for the fact that it doesn't necessarily sound that far away from the reasonably newly announced James Mangold movie, which is The Origin of the Force. Maybe not the first Jedi per se, but The Origin of the Force. So I don't know, man. I don't know about you, but I'm a little bit over this Benioff and Weiss stuff. I'm not that interested in hearing much about it because I just don't think there's that much of a story there. But the reason I put it in and wanted to talk about it just briefly was it feels like the idea's there and they've just shifted it ever so slightly and sort of repackaged it a touch, and that's the Mangold thing.
Yeah, as you were going through it, I was thinking, I'm sure we're getting a film. I couldn't remember the guy's name, but yeah, the Mangold film. That's very similar to this, isn't it? Like you said, they've just shifted it over a little bit. So we might get a First Jedi in that, who knows? Because that's not going to be a trilogy, right? That's not announced as that. I think that's just a standalone film, I think, the Mangold stuff. So, but yeah, it's kind of a non-story just because I think they've alluded to this in quite a few interviews already. I think in this one, they've just said more that their opinion on why it was binned off rather than we all know it was binned off. And I think they're alluding to the fact that Lucasfilm, as they've probably got their eye on something very early Jedi in something else. And they don't want to just, encapsulate everything in one trilogy or one film, whatever. So, and also it could be a fact that these guys just didn't want to do it, because it sounds like in the interview it says they had a very specific idea and things that they wanted to do, and Lucasfilm didn't want to do that. So the pair of them are just like, well, if you don't want to do it, we'll see you later. So I think there are certain, I guess it comes down to your strength of character as well as directors and producers with these things. If you've got a great idea that you're fully invested in and that you believe in, but then somebody at Lucasfilm, Kath, whatever, turns around and says, no, that's not going to work. We don't want to do it. You either fold and you're like, okay, what do you want to do then? Tell me. Or you just say, well, it's that way, or see you later. So it looks like they went with that latter route and just said, no, that doesn't work for us. We'll see you. We've got plenty of work on the pipeline. So yeah. Bye-bye.
Yeah, it's a tough one as well with Star Wars in that regard, because you never know, like you said, what they've got in the pipeline. And I think just because of the last few years, everything's sort of been announced and then shaken around a little bit, a lot's been cancelled, and it's just, you know, we're like Rian Johnson, DB Weiss and Benioff, you had the Kevin Feige stuff, you had the Taika Waititi stuff, you had Patty Jenkins on and off again, and I just imagine as a screenwriter or as a set of directors or producers or a team that comes together and, you know, works on a lot of movies together that gets then put into the Star Wars universe, I imagine you never really know until the cameras start rolling on it whether it's actually happening or not anymore. You know, it feels like there's more press about these things than the stories generally warrant these days. Okay. Maybe a few years ago it would have been like, oh my word, I can't believe this has been cancelled. And now you just can. You know,
it's par for the course. Almost.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Golf metaphor there.
Golf of four, as we call that one. Golf of four. Now we're going to wrap up on a couple of little things. A book and some toys. We'll do the book first, if you want. So I don't know much about these, but apparently Inkstone Books do these sprayed and signed Star Wars books. So it's where they spray the edge, basically, of the book. We saw it with the Thrawn books, you know, when they were released. I think I've got one in the back somewhere over there, where the edges of the pages are sprayed like a blue colour. And you see it on bloody business cards and all that sort of gear. But Inkstone do these books. I didn't know much about these. Signed and numbered hardcover versions of some Star Wars books. And the most recent one they're doing, and it does look really good, actually, is the John Jackson Miller Kenobi book. So we've got a nice, what appears to be like a watercolour vibe picture of Obi-Wan on the front. And then we've got basically just some nice sprayed edges, big, bold, hardcover, orange sprayed edges on these pages. So it just, there's not a ton to say about this. I didn't even know these were a thing, dude, as a collectible. But number one, I think it looks really nice. Number two, I'm not going to buy it because I just don't have the room for it. But number three, Legends is not going away, is it? And I would argue that there's probably been more attention on Legends recently than there's been since Legends was made Legends.
Yeah. Yeah, I was... I'm not surprised that they've announced this as one of the books to do because it's a very popular book from the Legends stuff. But I probably won't get it. I've got it already as a paperback, I think. Yeah, paperback. So I won't get this one. It does look very nice, though. And the back cover's really nice. It's just that real big sort of flat vector Obi-Wan's lightsaber. It's all really nice and packaged and stuff. I don't know how much it is, but it does look very cool. So I won't double dip on the old Kenobi book. It does look cool. But yeah, the Legends stuff, dude. I think as more and more people get a little bit, oh God, you know, there's no films coming out. People are sort of lackluster on some of the TV stuff. They'll start to look and dive into the Legend stuff even more. So it's definitely not going anywhere. Yep.
I just wonder if they're using this as a, I don't know. I always read too much into this. Like, do they use Legends as a jumping off point for warming the audience up to stuff? Do you know what I mean? Like they did, for example, like a whole two trilogies of Thrawn. And then boom, Thrawn's in Rebels and boom, Thrawn's in live action. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Do they just use it to like warm people up? I don't know.
I was about to say maybe they would do that, but I think Lucasfilm are just so disorganized that it doesn't sort of pan out that way a lot of the time, does it? So
couldn't get the shit together.
Yeah, because, you know, year after year, they haven't done it the last year or so, but up to that point, it was always the big slate of stuff. You know, here's what's coming, set your calendars. And then hardly anything came of it. So, yeah, on one hand, I'd love to say they've got all of their ducks in a row. I hate that saying. But then they sort of, you know, market those things up to that. But then I don't think so, dude. I think they're too up in the air.
Yeah. I think, you're probably right there, dude. But if you are interested in this one, if you are a bit of a literary collector, and don't get me wrong, like I said, this is beautiful. It's just I will not buy it just because I won't buy it. But they also do the Living Force. I've just noticed they've got, you know, the new book that's coming out, which is by John Jackson Miller. They've got a version of that, which is a brand new book, and they've done the inked and signed edition of that one as well with the green pages, which looks really, really nice, and a vector of the Jedi logo on there. So maybe it's the other way. Maybe it's just a way of, you know, I've read John Jackson Miller, I'm going to buy more John Jackson Miller. You know, that feels more appropriate, doesn't it?
I think that's probably more it. Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll stick a link in the show notes. Have a quick look. Just tap your screen, no matter what you're listening on, tap the old screen. And you'll be able to get a link to that one. Now we're going to wrap up on some toy news. I'm going to go through the ones that are really not that interesting, and then we're going to get to the interesting ones. So basically, there is, it's all Hasbro stuff. So there's some Black Series stuff. There's a Dark Trooper, and there's an Assassin droid from Ahsoka. So we've got the Mandalorian Dark Trooper and Ahsoka Assassin droid, which look pretty nice. It looks like they're the 6-inch versions of those as well, 6-inch scale. So they're quite nice. And then we've got the more interesting stuff. We've got some Black Series stuff coming out. So we've got Hasbro Black Series, Phase 2 Clone Trooper and Battle Droid, which actually look quite nice. And they're in the big sort of, not the pillbox, but they're in the kind of almost the square box that we got. Anytime you get like a pair at this scale, you do get them in this kind of, this it's all almost like a, it's a rectangular box that you can essentially open and stand up if you wanted to do that one. So that's all right. But honestly, the main reason we're talking about this story is that we've got more Legends stuff. So you remember a few years ago, we got the Luke Skywalker from Heir to the Empire, and it's got the Salamiri, it's in the box, it's a really nice box, and there was a Maul as well that came out in a different, obviously not Legends, but it came out in the same style, all in these really nice boxed up packages. Well, they've done it again, but they've chosen Last Command. So this is actually really an interesting set. So it's exclusive to Disney Parks and Shop Disney Online. You've been able to pre-order it since March 27th. And I imagine this will go because it's only $100, which is actually really good. But it's got Luke Skywalker in his post-Return of the Jedi garb, you know, the black tunic and all that kind of good stuff. It's got, interestingly, Mara Jade, which is really nice. And then it's got the baddies, not Thrawn. So it's got Joris Sabaoth, I don't know how you say that name, no one seems to, who was the clone of the Jedi that went down on, what's it called, Outbound Flight. So he was the clone, the crazy old Jedi wizard clone that wanted Leia's kids from Last Command and Heir to the Empire. And it's got Luke, the clone of Luke Skywalker, that didn't last very long, which was obviously cloned from Luke's hand from Bespin. So this is actually a surprising set. I'm not surprised they did something from Last Command, but I'm surprised that it's a four-figure set at $100. And it looks really good, dude. This is one that I would maybe be tempted to get, you know.
Yeah, same. I'm tempted by this as well because I've got the Heir to the Empire Luke figure in the box still, and that's really nice because they do these cool sort of comic booky illustrations on the back and stuff. It's almost like
a diorama, isn't it?
Yeah. It's got a different feel and flavour to the usual Black Series stuff, and just because it's the Legends thing, it makes it a little bit rarer. A little bit more of a collectible in the truest sense of the form. You know, you want to collect it because, you know, it's not going to be in the shop, and it'll be on eBay for thousands of pounds, but, you know, it won't be in the shops. So, yeah, I'm tempted, man. It's really cool and a good choice on the characters as well. I think a lot of people clamour for more Mara Jade over the years. She's always a popular one, you know, for obvious reasons. I'm not going to say, you know, too much into that.
What are your two big reasons for liking Mara Jade?
I'm not going to go into those two reasons too much, but yeah, it's a cool set and I would like to get it. We'll see if we can get it. I'm not sure on the UK side of things, but definitely, as you said, the Hasbro website, I think. Is it Hasbro website or the Disney website? One of the two, and the parks. But yeah, we'll stick a link in the show notes nonetheless. Check it out. And it looks cool. I might try and get it. Who knows? Was it $100, is it?
Yeah, $99. Yeah, I would get it. So you can get it. You can get it from Hasbro Pulse. So we're in the United Kingdom. Oh, it's £104, you shits.
Oh, inflation.
Limit of three per customer. But it is very, very nice. I mean, I might end up getting that one because that is cool. Maybe we'll get that one. But you can get it in the parks as well. Oh, bloody hell, they've already got Jedi Master Sol from The Acolyte and Jekylon on there. What else they got?
Oh, yeah, they're all there, dude. They've announced a bunch of figures for that stuff, yeah. Looks good.
Yeah, pretty nifty. All right, well, maybe we'll get that one then. I'm going to keep that tab open just in case, Gary, just in case.
Maybes, eh?
I've been trying to not buy much gear, though, you know.
Well, it's only a figure set, dude. It's not going to... You've got space for one more figure set.
That's how it works, though, isn't it? But I've got Obi-Wan coming, the big one, and I've got Batman. And that's me pretty much. And I've got a... Yeah, we'll see.
Just get another shelf up.
I'm not getting another shelf up. Fine. No chance, man. I'm done.
You said you weren't getting another shelf. Well...
Get the shelf up.
Get it up anyway.
No, I'm not going to do. Right, let's stick a pin in episode 214. Spark of Rebellion. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for letting us have a week off last week as well. We are back with a vigor and we'll be back next week with episode 215. Probably talking some more toy news from Hot Toys. And I've got no doubt that we'll spot some more TV news as well, because it feels like there's probably going to be a fair bit ramping up as we go into May and May the 4th comes around. So thank you for joining us. If you want to get involved, if you want early access to this episode, just look at like our wonderful supporters. You can also get that for just a couple of quid a month. at sparkrebellion.com/support. Until the next time, that's me out. Gazla, see you next week.
Indeed, yeah. Thanks, mate, for another week of some cool Star Wars chats and news. Thank you to our supporters. We'll see you next week. So until then, take care of yourselves and may the Force be with you always.